This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello there, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. This is an update on the US PGA Championship from Oak Hill. It's been a tremendous tournament so far, and we've got a lot more action to look forward to. My name is Alex Dunn, and I'm joined on the line by European pro Jamie Spence. Morning, Jamie.
Morning, Alex.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Looking forward to all the sport today, and especially settling down with a glass of wine and watching the PGA Golf tonight.
It really has been a great tournament so far. I mean, I was listening back to the first podcast that you did with Lee before, obviously, the tournament started. You spoke about how difficult it was to make big scores here, and I mean, yesterday, what happened?
Well, it's the softening of the golf course. As soon as you get a lot of rain on the golf course, and the afternoon starters really had a result yesterday because the rain cleared away, you're playing a soft golf course, therefore it plays wider, the ball doesn't run into the rough, and as you saw on the greens, the ball was just almost plugging when it hit the greens, and they were rolling really true, and you saw a lot of low scores. I mean, Jason Duffner, how close was he to the all-time record of a 62 in a major championship, just failed on the last with a 63, and a fantastic round from Duffner, and someone that we highlighted before the start of the week to have a good week.
Absolutely, 40-1 before the tournament started, now as short as 7-2, so got a real value pick there if you followed the original pick. But I mean, other players, Webb Simpson, for example, is tied for ninth, but he shot a 64 yesterday. Everybody who started later in the afternoon, at least, made brilliant scores, didn't they?
Yeah, if you're off in the morning, which, let's be honest, Rose and Adam Scott had to play through that rain, so they played exceptionally well. I mean, Justin Rose as well, 29 in his last back nine holes, which was his front nine, for his score of 66. Incredible score from Justin. I mean, he was sort of out of the tournament, really, until he played that nine holes. You say Webb Simpson, last year's US Open champion, 64, and he's a sort of player, Webb Simpson, who could come through at the weekend. They're going to make this golf course tougher. They're going to stick the flags away. They're going to try and dry out the greens as much as they can. They will not be happy of all these underpar scores, that's for sure.
Okay then. Well, as you mentioned, it might be a bit trickier in the next couple of days, but we'll see what you fancy in at least on day three. I'll catch up with you again tomorrow ahead of the final day. I'll just run you through the leaderboard first. We've got Duffner 9-under, Adam Scott, Matt Kuchar, and Jim Furyk 7-under, Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson at 6-under, Robert Garrigus, Steve Stricker 5-under, and 4-under for Webb Simpson, Martin Kaymer, Charlie Hoffman, and Marcus Fraser. We'll start, obviously, then, with Duffner. A great round yesterday, and a solid first round as well.
Yeah. Well, he's been a good player for a few years now, Jason Duffner, 68, 63. It's going to be really hard for him to come out and follow up that 63. It takes a lot out of you, a score like that. The adrenaline's pumping. There's bound to be a little bit of a come down. So if he can get round in level par, one over par today, I think that'll be a really good score for Jason Duffner. He likes this event. Runner-up here a couple of years ago to Keegan Bradley. So he's been playing well of late, Duffner. So no surprise to see him up the top.
OK, then Duffner is currently the favourite with William Hill at 7-2. Next we'll move on to Adam Scott. As you mentioned, played well through some adverse conditions yesterday. Shot a 68 to go with his first round 65. He's 7-under and he is 9-2 second favourite.
Well, yeah, in my book he is the favourite. I still think Duffner's up against it, even though he's 7-2, he's had a great time. I think Adam Scott's, to me, just looks like the most consistent player up there at the top. It's tough, though, because a lot of good players. He's a top player, Scott. Won the Masters, obviously, and he had a really good chance in the Open Championship, well, finishing third there. So, for me, he's the man to beat.
OK, then, next up is Matt Kuchar. He is tied for second currently with Scott on 7-under. He shot a 67 and a 66 in his first two rounds. And is 7-1 joint third favourite as we speak.
Yeah, he's a good player, Kuchar. He's got his own way of playing the game. Very flat swing for a tall man. And he's had a very good season, won a couple of big events over in the States, notably the Memorial. And he's second in the FedEx points. That just shows what a season he's having. He's not the straightest of drivers, and I think those soft conditions have really helped Matt Kuchar. So he's a consistent player, though. I don't think he'll go away.
OK, then Jim Furyk is the final player on 7-under. A 68 yesterday, following on from an impressive 65 in the first round. He's a bit bigger. He's 12-1. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, well, it's because of his age. People think maybe he's not going to last the pace. He hasn't shown the form of the other players at the top of the leaderboard there for inconsistency terms. But he's a really top player, Jim Furyk. Won a few majors himself, so I think that's not a bad bet, actually, 12-1 for Furyk, because I think he's played some exceptional golf the first 2 days, Jim Furyk.
Okay, then. Next up, tied for fifth on 6-under, is Justin Rose. He heads the British charge. As you mentioned, played well yesterday in conditions that weren't really ideal, and he is also 7-1.
Yeah, well, yeah, since the US Open, he's not really figured... Justin, he struggled a bit. Let's be honest. I mean, he missed the cut at Muirfield, and he was only 17th last week when Tiger ran away with a Bridgestone. So it's a little bit of a surprise. But that 29 just shows what he's capable of. I think when people have extremes of scores, like he's made quite a few bogeys. That to me is a little bit worrying when you have so many bogeys and then suddenly there's a rush of birdies. So I think. I don't know. I'm not sure Justin will pick up to win. We'll win this one.
Okay, then. Henrik Stenson is also on 6-under. He is tied for fifth with Justin Rose. A 68 followed by a 66. And one that you flagged up beforehand as one that you thought would go pretty close.
Yeah, he's got a great long game. Stenson is playing fantastic. He was second last week. He's won a couple of big events over in the States, notably the Players' Championship and the World Match Play. And he's been playing so consistently lately, Stenson. You know, he was right up there, wasn't he, in the Open, finishing second as well. So, yeah, I would think Stenson's got a better chance than Rose this weekend.
Okay, then we move on now to Robert Garrigus, who is 5-under, tied for 7th. Two pretty steady rounds so far, but the betting at least would suggest that the bookies aren't particularly running scared of him. He's 50-1.
Well, however, this tournament has thrown up quite a lot of strange winners, shall we say. Some of Rich Beam, Sean McKill, is Robert Garrigus. The next one of those, Keegan Bradley, when he won here, was a total unknown, Keegan Bradley. And I think for us over this side of the pond, Robert Garrigus isn't a name that many people are familiar with. However, he's been around on the PGA Tour for quite a time now. Good player, Robert Garrigus. But I put him in the same bracket as maybe Steve Stricker, who's looking for his first major. He's another player. He's on the same score as Robert Garrigus, looking for his first major. Steve Stricker disappoints. He's been in that top 10 of the world rankings as well, Stricker. So I would say Garrigus would be the better of the two there. But 50-1, these players do come along and win this tournament.
Mm. Okay, Garrigus 50-1, and Stricker, who you touched on there, is 25-1. And then we've got Webb Simpson, Martin Kaymer, Charlie Hoffman and Marcus Fraser all on 4-under. Do you think any of those can climb the leaderboard?
Well, they can, can't they? Again, Charlie Hoffman, I put him in the same bracket as Robert Garrigus. Marcus Fraser's always been a good player over here. Top putt, one of the best putters on the European Tour, Marcus Fraser. Pleased to see Martin Kaymer showing a bit of form. I think a few people flagged him up before this week. So, yeah, he's got to have a chance of sticking in there. Let's not forget he's a past champion of this event. And, Webb Simpson as well. He's one of those players who creeps up leaderboards unnoticed. 64 yesterday from Webb Simpson.
Okay, then, and then further down the leaderboard, we've got players like Hunter Mahan, Ricky Fowler, Lee Westwood, and of course Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're too far back to really cause any damage?
I backed Tiger yesterday at a big price before he went out, and he just couldn't get it going. 50-1, that just about sums his chances up. He's a long way behind, 10 shots behind. He needs to shoot 65, 64. And I do think the leaders will come back a little bit today. I don't see this scoring continuing. So if he can get to 4-5 under Tiger and get 4 behind with a round to go, he's got to have a chance, even though he's never won a major from behind. What was disappointing for me yesterday was another player I tipped at the start of the week was Lee Westwood, 73 yesterday. Has he played his way out of this tournament? He's only 1 under par now. He's in the Tiger Woods camp. He needs to shoot 4 unders a day, get himself to 5 under, and hope the leaders don't get too far away from him.
Mm. Okay, then you mentioned that it's a course that, you know, well, not a course, but a tournament where we often get some shocks. You talked about Garrigus there, but having said that, you look at the leaderboard and all of those towards the head of the tournament at the minute are those that were reasonably prominent in the betting, aren't they? Really?
Well, yeah. we always get drawn to those players, but we weren't drawn to Jim Furyk, were we, or Robert Garrigus or Webb Simpson or Charlie Hoffman. So there's four players there who we never really thought about at the start of the event, and we're still not really thinking about because of who they are. But why can't one of those go on and win at the bigger prices? It's only because of the form of Scott and Matt Kuchar and Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson, and we're focusing on those, and obviously the prices for those players are a lot shorter, but in my eyes one of the bigger prices could quite easily come through and win. It's not an easy game to predict golf.
Okay then, well, we'll return to those picks in just a moment. We'll get your outright views on the third day of the USPGA Championship. We're just going to touch on some two ball action now, the final three two balls of the round. We kick off with Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson. We go even money, the two, Rose and Stenson. What do you think?
Yeah, that's an interesting matchup, and the fact that Stenson's been playing the more consistent golf for me over the last month, obviously not the US Open where Justin Rose won, I think just full favours Stenson in that match. But a tough one to call. I think the prices are right, but I would side with Stenson.
Okay, then Stenson in that one. The second one that we'll look at is Matt Kuchar and Jim Furyk. 5-6 Kuchar, 6-5 for Jim Furyk.
I'm a bit of an old romantic. I'll go with Furyk. He's impressed me the first 2 days, first round leader. And as I said, this course for me didn't suit Matt Kuchar at the start of the week. So I side with Kuchar. Mind you, I didn't fancy Phil Mickelson in the Open. Look what happened there.
No, very true. We do get some shocks sometimes, but. No, Kuchar is 5-6 to beat Furyk in the two balls there. And the final one that we'll look at looks a pretty mouth-watering two-ball contest. Yeah. Jason Duffner at 5-4, Adam Scott at 4-5.
You know, when a golfer shoots a really low score and he shoots a spectacular number, 63s or 1s or whatever it might be, the next day, really hard to follow that up. That's a cracking bet for Adam Scott at 4-5.
Okay then, so the treble there of Stenson, Kuchar and Scott pays 5.6-1. If you want to get involved with that, that looks a nice price treble. It does actually.
I'm going to get on that.
Yeah, that does sound quite good. Okay then, we will return to the main picks then, the outright picks. Are you going to stick with Jason Duffner? Are you going to throw one in from left field? What do you think, Jamie?
Well, I think Adam Scott's the man to beat. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Now, it's a cramp leaderboard, 9-2 about Scott. It's not a bad bet actually for Adam Scott. So he is the man to beat, in my opinion. But, you know, I think that 50-1 about Robert Garrigus is tempting, the 12-1 about Furyk. So if I was going to pick an outsider, I don't see any reason why a Robert Garrigus type player can't go in and win it. So if you want to pound each way on someone like that, I would go with it, because this tournament does throw up strange winners. And Martin Keimer, when he won here, you know, no one was expecting Martin to win the USPGA. And as I said, you just go back to the history of this tournament, it throws up some strange winners. So go with one of the outsiders, and Garrigus at 50-1, he's close enough.
Okay, great stuff, Jamie. Good luck with that. Good luck if you did back Duffner beforehand as well. And fingers crossed we can have a good day's action.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.